Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
Happy first Monday of the month, and I hope you will stay with us for the October edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to welcome in my boss, the head honcho at WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane. Mike joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of each month at this time, to talk with you about what's happening at WPR. And he's ready for your questions and your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike, a happy belated birthday to you. I know you celebrated a birthday over the weekend, and we weren't able to say happy birthday then, so happy birthday now.
Oh, thank you very much.
So be nice to Mike. You can call in and ask your question, but maybe you can wish him a happy birthday, too. We'll get to your calls in just a few minutes, but first let me start with the partial federal government shutdown, Mike, because of the lack of this continuing funding resolution for the federal budget to keep the government running. Does this affect Wisconsin Public Radio and by extension our listeners any way at all?
Well, certainly our listeners, but in terms of a direct effect upon the funding really would be the question on Wisconsin Public Radio today. There isn't an effect because one of the things that's been true for a very long time is that public radio and public television through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting have an unusual funding mechanism where they're forward funded. What that means is that right now we're receiving the funds that were approved 2 years ago in the form of our community service grant from the CPB. And so one could imagine an effect if the government were closed for months and months and months, but that's the direct thing right now. Now, there are other possible effects as we watch this go on in Washington for perhaps a longer and longer period. For instance, in today's news, there was discussion about possibly some sort of grand deal which would reconfigure all of the financial arrangements that have been made, and one of those things that did affect us and is affecting us in this year's budget is the so-called sequestration. So that was a cut across the board to federal funding, and that did mean a reduction in our funds last year. And if it isn't changed, we're expecting that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will take that cut for the next 10 years, assuming everything else is equal. If they got rid of the sequestration, that could be good, although one of the pieces of the grand deal they were discussing was more permanent cuts. So we'll watch it. And of course, if there's something to let people know about, we'll certainly let them know. We'll talk with our congresspeople as may be appropriate.
Yeah, certainly our listeners are affected by the partial federal government shutdown, but they're not going to necessarily right now hear any difference on Wisconsin Public Radio because of it.
No, and in fact, the front desk mentioned to me, Kathleen, that we are having a problem with our two Green Bay stations where the signal is flipping between them. So the program source. So they might be hearing us now on the proper station, or they might be hearing us on the News and Classical station by mistake. Engineers know about it. Obviously, there's something wrong in the back end of things, and they're going to get that fixed as soon as possible. But that has nothing to do with anything other than it's a technical problem.
Yeah. I was at a speaking engagement recently, and one of the people in the audience asked me if Wisconsin Public Radio is worried about continued government funding. And I said,
when are we not worried?
Yeah, right. I know. I just said, well, you know, I assumed it was an ongoing concern, certainly during budget cutting times. But that I also said that in the past there have been proposals to defund or cut public broadcasting that the public rallied mm-hmm. in support of public radio and TV, and they minimized or defeated those efforts. I mean, she wanted to know, what can we do as concerned public broadcasting lovers?
Well, that's a great question, and no surprise, I'll suggest that the upcoming pledge drive is one thing that people can take advantage of and make a pledge and support financially. But I do want to put that in the context of the mm-hmm. question, and that is that if you look over a very many year period, so you look back to when we started pledge drives in 1979, at the time, most of the support, the overwhelming majority of the support for Wisconsin Public Radio came from federal sources and state sources. So probably the majority by a large part was the state funding at that time. Since that time, the support of governments for public broadcasting generally has, on a sort of a inflation-adjusted dollars, continued to decline over a long period of time. And in fact, here in Wisconsin, I would say it mirrors what we've seen with support for the state university system, for instance, that it used to be that was mostly government supported, and now it's under 20%, and depending on which part of the budget you might be talking about. And the same is true for public broadcasting, that our support has declined over that period of time. So that means that listener support and business support and also major gift donations and planned giving donations all count for a much larger percentage of the budget. And you'll hear us talk about this on the pledge drive, of course, but 41%, I think it is, in the most recent budget of our funds comes directly from listeners. So obviously the single most important piece of the puzzle right now. And that is a change. So over time, we've been worried enough about it to actually change our practices. And the same is true for corporate support that or business support, because it's not always a corporation. Sometimes it's a nonprofit that's organized in a different way. But that financial support that you hear in the form of the support for WPR is provided mm-hmm. by announcements, that's also become more important. And more recently even than that, we've been urged by our colleagues around the country to focus on major gift fundraising more. That's why you'll hear us talk more about the 9XM Circle, our $100 or $1,200 a year or more givers. And that's because they can, with a single $10,000 or $50,000 gift, have a very significant financial effect on the ability we have to provide programs.
And speaking of funding and our fundraising drives, our fall pledge drive, our membership drive, starts this Friday. So we will be asking for listener support starting on Friday, and we're not going to be on as long, as many days as some past fall drives. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. We're actually going to spread things out just a little bit more this year. So instead of a 12-day long drive, this will be a 9-day drive. And there'll be a drive, I think, in May that'll be a little bit longer. We've done a couple of those one-day Wednesday things in May. Yeah. We're not going to do that this year. So a little bit different. But one thing you'll really hear with that pledge drive coming up in a few days is a very strong emphasis on becoming a sustaining member, an ongoing contributor, because that really makes a difference financially for WPR. One way you can think of it is, if you're like me, you forget when you made the last contribution, when you write a check or use your credit card. But if it's just coming out of your bank account over time, then the organization you really care about gets those funds on an ongoing basis. That makes a difference. I don't know if it's been a year or 15 months or whatever when I've made that pledge. And so that really does make a difference in this year's budget that more people move into sustaining pledges.
And more people have been moving into those monthly sustaining pledges.
That's right. I'm not remembering the percentage, but it's a significant group that has done so in the last year, and we will be focused on it all year.
Yeah, and can people during the pledge drive up their monthly sustaining donation?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I'd say that's going to be another of the emphases that you'll get, mm-hmm. because people used to just call the pledge drive to do it. But if they're having a regular contribution going out, they might forget to do that as well. And that, too, can make a profound difference on WPR's ability to pay the bills.
Okay, so we will have the fall membership drive on Wisconsin Public Radio starting this Friday, October the 11th, and it will run through October the 19th. So we hope that you will show your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during that time. One of the things that your contributions pay for are, I think, is soon to be opened up in northwestern Wisconsin. There is a new station that's going to be signing on somewhat soon up north, Mike?
That's right. And in fact, listener funds have helped to fund it. And we've also gone out and asked donors in the area to make an additional contribution. And we're very close to raising those matching dollars that were needed to put on WHWA Washburn. And if everything goes as planned, our engineers tell us that we can have that on by Christmas time. And that's a real thrill because folks in the northern part of our state have had weaker or non-existent signals. And in the last couple of years, we've been able to make quite a dent in that. We already have the Ashland station for the Ideas Network that some people are listening to right now with us. And this new WHWA will be for the News and Classical Network in the Shawamigan Bay. And folks that live in that area know that right now what they do is they kind of chase signals, that they come around a bend and they have to change their car radio to the other signal that they get when they get around that bend, because all of the News and Classical Network stations are distant from that, but they can kind of pick it up sometimes. And there's also a little tiny repeater there. It's a 10-watt repeater. And that same frequency, 104.7 FM, that some people are listening to right now, will be replaced with a very large signal that'll cover that whole area. So really excited about that.
That's great. And speaking of the NPR News and Classical Music Service of Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio has a new program director for that service. What can you tell us about Peter Bryant?
Well, Peter is someone, it turns out I actually knew him from a previous job that I had where he was doing a national program called Sound Passages. Mm-hmm. This is when he was at WHYY in Philadelphia. Since that time, he moved on from being music director there to being a station manager in Kentucky, and then just this last month joined us here at WPR, and everybody's been very excited to have Peter here. Among other things, he's a coach because he knows a lot about classical music and about classical music radio. And he's in charge of the whole schedule for the News and Classical Network and has lots of background in classical music in particular to help with that. But also has in the station he used to be at, it was just like WPR's station, a news and classical music station. So he's got a good background in that.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, to take your questions and comments, suggestions, and feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio's programming and operations and other services. And we'll also talk about some fun Wisconsin Public Radio events that might be coming to a community near you. And we welcome your calls right now at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also post on the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page. I know I put a post up there about Mike's appearance. And you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the October edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, who's here to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to join in. From our listener logs, Mike, over the past month, I just tried to go to the website, a listener writes, for Larry Mueller's trip to Hawaii, but there's no such site. as holidayvacations.com/Wisconsin. Can you help me? This happened the last time with this trip to England, too.
Well, there's two things going on there. One is that, and this happens to me all the time on the web, too, it's actually holidayvacations.net, not .com. And yeah, there isn't anything that would be there for .com. So holidayvacations.net. And I'm checking into the slash Wisconsin part because that worked for me a few days ago, but it doesn't work right now. Something's going on with that, but there is a way to get there anyway. And you'll notice in our announcements, they'll say holidayvacations.net, keyword Wisconsin. So what that means is you go to holidayvacations.net and type in Wisconsin in the keyword box that's up in the upper right corner, and that takes you to the page that has the Larry Mueller trip.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Larry Mueller's trip. He gets to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, he does, and he'll be working hard based on the evidence of what I heard about the England trip, but working hard, having fun, to be sure. You know, the purpose of these trips is twofold. One is that they do help us to raise a little bit of revenue for the station directly. Each trip raises $10,000 or so for WPR right up front. And then beyond that, sometimes we develop wonderful relationships that last for a lifetime with WPR as a result of that. And so my colleagues around the country that have been doing this tell me that many times you end up with people who make a planned gift or a major gift to WPR. And so that's very helpful, as I mentioned earlier, about the impact that individuals can have. And, you know, with listeners that have been donating to WPR since 1979, and there are thousands who have done so every year since, and with people who have grown up and are, you know, much, much older now, but have listened since they were kids, that it is really something that has happened that's been really wonderful for WPR, where people have put WPR in their will. And we've had this year alone a couple of $100,000 of donations that have come that way. And that by our policy, what happens is those go into a board-designated endowment and help to create future income and help protect the financial health of WPR. So that's all been wonderful. I've now wandered away from the trip with Larry, though. And I want to say that there are actually two vendors that we're working with. Holiday Vacations is one of them here in Wisconsin. And we also work with Earthbound, which is a group out of Seattle. And they do some different styles of trips. And obviously, we've now done a couple of trips. Larry Mueller's gone. We just had Lori Skelton go on a trip to Italy. We're going to try to soon have a kind of a schedule of those for the next year published, so people that don't know if they'd like to go to the Rockies with someone, if that's the trip, or to Hawaii or whatever, that they can think about that in advance. And that'll be coming pretty soon. We'll have that on our own website, WPR.org.
I can't wait to take a look at all that, too. So speaking of our new website, how's everything going with it?
We've been getting wonderful feedback. If you go there to WPR.org, you'll see that there's a kind of a flag at the top that says beta. And beta can have a number of different meanings. It's the Greek letter, of course. And in the computer world, what beta typically means is that it's a time of public testing. I remember that Gmail, for instance, which is mail I use for my personal email, had beta listed on it for a number of years, actually. And I don't anticipate that our site will have beta there forever. But what it means is that we're testing and refining and really encouraging an especial level of user feedback. And we've already changed a number of things because of that. For instance, some people shared with us that they had found it impossible to find our Wisconsin Life segment, the one that you play on the Tell Joy Where to Go Friday segments in the morning. And so now it's easier to find. It's listed as one of the shows, and you can do the menu under shows, and you'll find Wisconsin Life there. And we've made other changes as well. And in fact, one of the questions that come up, and I'm asking our web people about that because it's come up here in the listener logs, is people want to know how to contact WPR. And it's actually very easy, but it's one step down in the menu. So if you'd like to use the online form to contact us, you go to WPR.org, click About WPR, and then under that, you'll see Contact Us, and that's the place where you have the form. And that's a great way, for instance, to tell us that you're having a signal problem. In fact, I'm sure that that's, in addition to the phone calls, one of the ways that people let audience services know. When you get to that page that as a form you can use, it also lists the emails that you can use. And one of them is listener@WPR.org. That's audience services. So any general question or comment that you want to email, if you don't feel like using the form, just use listener@WPR.org or call audience services. We give that number out here all the time, Joy, 800-747-7444. And it's there at the About Us, Contact Us. And then finally, we are looking for website comments, and that's webmaster@WPR.org, and that's right there on that page as well if you forget it.
Yep, all good info. Yeah. Lots of ways to contact and have feedback with the Wisconsin Public Radio.
And even the Facebook page. If you have a problem that you're on Facebook and you don't want to go find the form, put it on there, and because people are monitoring that page all the time, the main WPR Facebook page, then that can get the news to us as well.
And if you have feedback right now that's on your mind, you can share it at 1-800-642-1234. That's our call-in number. You can also email talk@WPR.org. We are talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He is with us usually the first Monday of each month. We call it Mondays with Mike, and this is the October edition. Lots of callers, so let's go to Nick in Libertyville. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Morning, Mike. Good
morning,
Joy.
Morning.
And, I wanted to mention I'm also a member, so people, please pledge when this comes up.
Thank you, Nick.
I had a suggestion on the new WPR beta site.
Sure.
It's the restoration of an older feature, which was on the previous site, and that is, has to do with the show archives. Previously, there were three options to listen online to older stories. One was to just play directly from the site, and one is to download an MP3 file. Those two still exist.
Right.
But then there was a third one that allowed you to stream the file into your own player if you have a third-party player like RealPlayer or Windows Media or on a mobile. Those seem to have gone, although that feature still works. If you know how to configure the URL to the MP3 file that works, it does still work. It's just it would be nice to have a button to stream the story directly rather than downloading the whole thing. And I think that would be, it would just be restoring a feature which was at the previous version of the website. I think that would come in handy quite a bit. So I'd like to make that suggestion.
So it's restoring the archives feature that lets you stream directly.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
I've got that note down and I'll pass that on. I know that I will pass that on, Nick. Thanks. But to explain generally what's going on, folks, is that the battle of our website is that it has a tremendous number of features, and that was one that the old site had. And I know that the debate that's going back and forth on our web team is if we create too many options, people actually get there have been a lot of studies about this, they get locked. They make no choice at
all. Overwhelmed.
And in fact, one of the most shocking ones that I've found is when I take a look at the new NPR.org site, the national site for public radio's NPR, they have actually reduced the number of choices a lot so that it surprises you. Or I have to work a little harder to find all the choices. They're still there, but they're under menus or things like that. And when you just look at the homepage, there's a lot less choice. And what they're finding is that's increased the amount of engagement that people have with the site because there aren't as many choices. They're clicking on what they see, apparently. So that's the dance there. But I am intrigued by that idea, Nick, and we'll pass that right on.
Thank you, Nick. We'll go now to Don in Madison. Hello, Don.
How are you today?
Very good.
Hi,
how are you?
Fine. Another technical question, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. You can listen if you want to. Sometimes when Joy has an off-site guest communicating with them back and forth in the studio,
mm-hmm.
They don't have good microphone technique, and sometimes their cell line might be somewhat suspect.
Yes.
And the transmission gets sort of garbled.
Yeah, that does happen.
I'm wondering, do you folks in the studio hear exactly what goes out over the air to us, or do you have a cleaned up, better version to listen to?
Boy, I wish we did have a cleaned up, better version, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And there are two or three different things I hear. You're right about the problem of a person having a bad phone line, and we actually have very high-tech phone processing to try to make that as good as possible. But the phone network has gotten worse and worse. You know, I think about how there was at one time promotion of the new digital networks as sounding better than anything from the old analog networks. You don't see those promotions so much anymore, because what they've done is they've squeezed so much into those digital pipes, into the fiber and so on. So that's a problem in and of itself, is a bad phone line. The other thing is that sometimes, because it is a high-tech processing thing, you'll hear effects that are an artifact of that. Like, Joy, you'll probably recognize this, that once in a while when you're on the digital phone, the ISDN phone, for instance, that all of a sudden you're kind of those echoey things.
Yeah, tinny sound. Yeah.
And sometimes you can manage that a little bit by turning your microphone up and down, that kind of thing. And I'm sure you try to do that, and I know everybody does. Boy, Don, you're right. It is a real challenge, and we're fighting to make it the best we can. And we definitely do know when that's happening.
Yeah. I
make these adjustments during the broadcast?
Yeah, we do. We try to make them. There's some that's automated, but then we're turning the volume up and down and different things like that to try to tweak things.
Yeah, and you might have heard, Don, on occasion, I'll say we're going to try to get our guest back on a different telephone line, or we're going to try to see.
Very often, yes, I have.
Yeah, and otherwise, you know, I'm afraid nobody can hear what the guest is saying, and so
I'll notice, for instance, sometimes in a newscast that a reporter has chosen to use phone audio because of the illuminating comment, but if the audio is so bad that you can't hear it anyway, then it was a mistake for them to use that audio. And so they have to talk about those things all the time, and once in a while they don't get it right.
But it's certainly something that we do try to avoid or prevent by, we used to have a landline-only rule, but now a lot of people don't have landlines.
My landline in my house is actually on the cable. It's not an actual telephone
line. Yeah, exactly. So, and then we've had it where we've called somebody back on a cell phone, and it was better. It was better than the original landline that we are calling. So it is, and we do as often as possible try to get a guest into a radio studio, even if they're in another part of the country, because that does sound better for the most part. But sometimes there's not a radio station in, you know, Timbuktu or wherever the guest may
be. Which state is Timbuktu?
Or for that matter, maybe there's not an engineer on site, or the guest is unwilling to travel to someplace at 6 o'clock in the morning to do that. So, but we'll try to keep on working on making it sound as best we can. Don, thanks very much.
As you might imagine, we're very interested, because we're based in talk shows, in having that sound as best as possible.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some Wisconsin public radio, or I should say public radio personalities who are coming to Wisconsin. There's going to be a radio, the co-host of the Radio Lab will be in Milwaukee soon. Mike, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's actually a Radio Lab live show that's happening Friday in Milwaukee, and we have a special thing in advance of that. And it's WPR and the Pabst Theater, and it's Robert Krolwich and Jad Abumrad, who are going to be at the Cudahy Irish Pub in Milwaukee Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. You can take a picture with them, enjoy some snacks from Beans and Barley, and enter to win prizes from WPR. And our colleagues at the other public radio station in town, WUWM, are sponsors of that Radio Lab event on Friday, and we certainly encourage you to go to that as well. It should be a lot of fun. And I know the one that I saw last time was really a lot of fun. So our event is Thursday with the creators of the show at the Cudahy Irish Pub, and there's information there on our website. You can search for that. And then the event itself is on Friday.
Okay, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, it's on the puzzled look.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what day is that?
Thursday, special event with WPR. Friday, the Radio Lab show at
I get it.
The Riverside, actually.
Well, that ought to be great. That's a great show. And then another great show is going on a statewide tour, 10-show radio with Michael Perry, host Michael Perry. He's coming to, I think, Stoughton is one of the first stops, if
yeah,
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's just what I think I'm one of the many really big admirers of Michael, and he's traveling in this case with 10 Show Radio. He does the voiceover announcements and so on. And the Stoughton Opera House event is Friday, October 18th. The Cal Center in Reedsburg is October 19th, and then it keeps going. And we have a ticket giveaway to both of those live shows. People who subscribe to our Radio Waves R2, that's the second of the two radio waves that we send, have already gotten this information, but it is also on our website. And they can enter to win tickets to go to those shows.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, and this is the October edition of Mondays with Mike, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Also wanted to announce that coming up the week of October 22nd, I'm sorry, October 21st, the week of October 21st, Wisconsin Public Radio News is going to be presenting a series of reports on the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Segments will focus on people enrolling in the new health care insurance program and how the process is going, as well as people helping others navigate the enrollment process and how the new health insurance law is affecting businesses, free clinics, and others in Wisconsin. So that's from the Wisconsin Public Radio News Department coming up the week of October 21st. Mike, we really do want to focus on the fine journalism that Wisconsin Public Radio is providing. Isn't that one of our goals?
That is absolutely. It's a top goal because, and I would count a lot of the work that you do right here, some of it's light stuff like with me, but you do a lot of journalism work right here in bringing issues out, whether it's the Friday discussion with a variety of guests about almost a point counterpoint on some particular days about the week's news, or when Sean Johnson is in or any of our other reporters. We have a lot of reporters appearing on Central Time over the course of the week since we've started doing that show in July. And the key is that the kind of journalism that WPR aspires to do and does do a lot of, according to not only our own belief but what people tell us, is that it's journalism or reporting or news that seeks understanding, that starts with the premise that there may be many sides to an issue, not just a left and a right, that there might be left, right, center, and all kinds of other in-betweens. And we're able to do that because of listener support, of course. And so we're trying to emphasize that and even build on our capability to do that.
Let's take another call from Don in River Falls. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Hi, Don. So what's
Hello.
Up?
Hello. I have two questions. One is that, as you know, you're competing with Minnesota Public Radio up here in western Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether Wisconsin Public Radio will ever access Weekend Edition and National Public Radio News. My other question is, several times I've been frustrated by busy signals and have not been able to get in to ask questions, and I don't know how many lines you would have to add in order to accommodate more people or what you'd have to do, but that has proved to be a frustration for me.
Sure. So let me ask you a question, Don, about the Weekend Edition and so on. It sounds like you're finding that on your Minnesota Public Radio station, but there isn't a station you can pick up from WPR that has that.
That is correct.
Yeah. Do you listen at all to WOJB out of Hayward?
Occasionally I do because we have a summer place up there. And
yeah.
When I do, then I can get it.
But yeah.
I'm
sorry. So the reason I'm asking is that one of our challenges in all of the northwestern part of the state is that we do, I don't like to think of it as compete, but I suppose you could say that with Minnesota Public Radio. We each have some signals that get into some parts of the area there, and Sometimes you can keep spinning the dial, and then you'll find the WPR station that does have Weekend Edition on it, but not necessarily in your spot, in your house, and so that really is a challenge. If you happen to have good internet there, you can also listen online, of course, but that's not what your question was, and I understand that.
Right, and Don, so there is, Wisconsin Public Radio does carry Weekend Edition on our NPR News and Classical Music Network stations, but you just, in River Falls, are unable to, I guess, pick one of those up strongly enough.
Yeah, and WRFW has a good signal there, but that's a different channel, of course, so...
Yeah, that's what I listen to.
That's the idea.
But I'm saying for other folks that we have a signal there, but it's the one you're listening to. And so if you think of the terrain there, too, you're kind of in a spot where those Minnesota stations are going to come in great because the towers are there in the Twin Cities and kind of pointing at you, but you're kind of below the ridge there. For the stations that we have coming from Eau Claire. So that is a Eau Claire and Menominee area. That is a challenge for sure.
Well, let me tell you that on our call-in system computer, Don, we have four incoming lines that people, listeners, can call in on and be waiting to join a show. So Don would like to have more than that.
The challenge, honestly, Don, is that we wouldn't really get any more calls on the air, and so we'd have more people that are waiting, hoping to get on the air, that wouldn't. Because our experience pretty regularly is that as soon as one of the lines has been dropped because, say, you hang up, then someone else is right there already. And so it hasn't seemed like it would make sense to take on the expense of additional phone lines beyond the four.
Yeah, and then more people would be just waiting on hold for a longer period of time, perhaps.
And then the call screener would have a challenge, too, because they'd be trying to either reassure or disappoint, you know, callers 7, 8, and 9 that never got in. And so that's why we've chosen to do it that way.
And certainly, I hope you continue to try to call and get on the air, Don, with us. We'd love to have as many listeners as possible join our call-ins. But if you have a question, you can also email it to talk@wpr.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show, trying many, many different ways for you to participate in the discussions.
So I guess for WPR, the challenge that Don has is good for WPR. That means we're getting lots of calls and emails and so on to keep the shows interesting.
That's great. And you can keep this show interesting by calling in your question at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us usually the first Monday of every month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your questions about our programming, our operations, our other services, maybe your feedback. And we'll take more of your feedback after this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are taking your calls and your comments about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry in Menasha is with us now. Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
Good morning. According to USA Today, the Center for Investigative Reporting, which is a nonprofit news organization, and Public Radio Exchange, which distributes content to public radio stations, are joining forces to launch a new program called Reveal. That's R-E-V-E-A-L. And they've tried it out in over 100 stations in the top 10 markets. Now, this is investigative, nonpartisan journalism, of which we have very little nationwide. And I just wondered, what are the chances of we here in Wisconsin being able to hook into that particular program? It's called Reveal. It's just starting up now. And I think it should be looked at as a potential source for good nonpartisan, honest, open, investigative journalism.
Sure. We'll certainly take a look at that. I'll pass that on to our program folks. They may already have seen it, but I'm hearing about it from you. Unfortunately, I don't always know every single thing that's going on here. Mentioning that, by the way, one of the partnerships that WPR has with investigative reporting is with Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. You might have heard Tegan's report today on the news. She was talking about some of the investigations about the effect of the frac sand mining. So thanks very much for the suggestion. We will look into that.
Yeah, in fact, we talked about the health effects of frac sand mining, or the concerns over the health effects of frac sand mining, from 6 until 7 this morning with one of the reporters from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and with State Senator Kathleen Beinhout. We do that regularly with our partnership with these investigative reporters. So thank you very much, Jerry, for that comment. We have from the listener log, I am happy that Ruth Ann Bestman is now presenting Morning Classics. Her voice and her selections are a delight. One thing that puzzles and troubles me, though, her Saturday morning request program has been moved to Fridays. None of the children who make requests or listen to the variety of music offered can hear it because they're in school on Fridays. It used to be on Saturdays. What about that, Mike?
Yeah, I actually, that might be a strong assertion, because one of the things we keep discovering is that teachers do use WPR in school, and it's possible that in some cases they are hearing it in school. But I take the point seriously, too. Here's the story. When Ruth Ann moved from being a weekend announcer to a weekday announcer, she has loved doing the request show forever. And so we elected to move the request show with Ruth Ann rather than leave it on Saturdays. And one of the questions that certainly hangs out there is, will it make sense for her to keep doing the kids segment? Is there some other way to do it? But it was necessary for us to make the move to get her doing our weekdays. It hangs in the balance, and I really appreciate the comment. I know that we mentioned Peter Bryant, our new program director. I know this is a question he's going to wrestle with.
Thanks for that comment. Nancy in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Nancy. What's your question or feedback?
I'm just wondering, on the current events part of the show, you've gone to half-hour segments, but on the Flux sections, you're still at a full hour on the recipe shows.
Are you talking about this show in particular?
Yeah. Why do you cut to a half hour on the important items and keep a full hour on the fluff?
Well, that's not the case all the time, Nancy. Maybe the ones you've caught. We certainly do still have hour-long call-ins on current affairs issues.
Isn't it sometimes a guest issue that your guests only will agree to be here
sometimes,
for a half hour?
Sometimes it is that. And we do it on occasion. We'll have a guest that can only be with us for a half hour, so we'll do that. And maybe we'll do a half hour on the same topic, different perspectives, or maybe we'll just do a half an hour on a serious topic, and we'll get two serious topics in the hour rather than one. But it is not by any means a standard that all fluff shows are an hour and all of the serious shows are a half hour.
Yeah, I do think when I try to picture what you and all the producers of our shows do, it's sort of like putting together a puzzle, but sometimes making the puzzle as you go along and having someone hand you very large pieces and small pieces, and you have to, well, how do we put this together? And you know, as many years as I've been radio, I continue to be impressed by how you pull things together. And I'm sure there are times where
They fall apart.
That's right. And you know, I wish we had done more with that. And in fact, you sometimes you'll have callers say, you know, I hope you come back to that. And you do, because over time, maybe a topic grows in importance or interest. And so you come back to it again for another hour or half hour or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we had another Nancy, thank you so much for the call. We certainly certainly want to continue to talk about issues that matter to you and give them all adequate, in-depth treatment when a guest will stay with us for the whole hour. We do have another listener who says, I feel that the new shows that are not doing hour-long call-ins are a disappointment. I don't listen as much. I depend on public radio for my information, and you are dumbing things down. This used to be my main source for getting facts, and now I listen elsewhere. Mm. Maybe we can talk a little bit about, in particular, and I'm not sure this listener was referring to Central Time. Mm-hmm. Central Time is doing more topics per hour than we typically do.
That's right. I suspect that that's the nature of the comment, although it, mm-hmm. it relates a little bit to Nancy's observation mm-hmm. as well. The idea of Central Time, simply put, is that our afternoons are a lot more scattered than our mornings, and that means that people are in and out. There's a recent study from the company that now it was called Arbitron for many years. It's been absorbed into the Nielsen company, but their study showed that the average listener is tuned in for 11 minutes at any one time. Now, they may come back multiple times, but that means that they're missing a tremendous amount if they're in and out. And I think part of what happens, and I think people that would listen to the call-in with me are a part of this, we are very heavy listeners compared to the average. And so we notice the smallest mm-hmm. changes in WPR. And the vast majority of our listeners aren't listening as much as that. And so one of the ideas of Central Time is to, if anything, try to pack more in-depth content in by having multiple topics. And you know this, Joy, there are a lot of topics you simply can't do on this show because there isn't an hour in them. But there might be 15 minutes. And so those kinds of topics are going to Central Time. And we think what it's doing, and proof will be in the pudding over time, is it's actually making it possible for us to talk about more issues that matter.
Right. Let me share this one from the listener log, too. My husband and I like to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. Recently, I heard that some public TV stations are taking donations from the Koch brothers, and some stations opted to not run a documentary called Koch Brothers Exposed because of the acceptance of those donations. I need to know, do you take money from the Koch brothers?
Well, I don't know about what stations do. We don't get direct funding from the Koch brothers that I know about. I do know two things for sure. One is that one of the Koch brothers has been a longtime donor to the show Nova on public television. And so when you watch the credits, you'll see that he's mentioned or his foundation mm-hmm. is mentioned. And also that, and I'm forgetting which one, I'm sorry, one of them has served on the board of WNET. The show is actually not called Koch Brothers Exposed. It's called Citizen Koch. And it was at one point being considered for offering two public television stations, but at the moment is not by the organization that does POV and Independent Lens. And that may change. I don't know. Public television isn't my core business, so mm-hmm. I don't know as much about this. But that's certainly in the air right now, the discussion about that. And I think there's probably a lot online about it that people can look up. And I'm sure we can follow up with someone if they get in touch with us with the listener at WPR.org as well. If they want to know more, we can refer it to our folks in public television.
Boy, I don't think we have time for another call, Mike. Is there anything else? We do have our pledge drive coming up. We can end on that note on Friday. It'll be the October 11th through the 19th. Anything else in our final minute that we want to share with our listeners?
Well, one of the key reasons to have a pledge drive is to find new members for WPR. And so I really hope that folks that have been listening for a couple of months or a couple of years, but of saying, oh, I don't know. Think about the value that you find in WPR and please consider making a pledge, either a one-time one if you're not sure, or making that a sustaining gift if you'd like to make sure that you're helping WPR over time to stay strong. So I'm sure I'll be back saying that in more ways than one in just a couple of days.
Yep, that's right. We'll hear from Mike on the pledge drive. We also will hear from him again on this program on or around the first Monday of November. He usually does join us on the first Monday of each month for Mondays with Mike. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry, the producers and directors of this program. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And if you have any feedback for Wisconsin Public Radio, you don't have to wait until Mondays with Mike. Go to our new website, WPR.org, and send us a note. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.